Chairs No Waiting, episode number 650, Mayberry on the Streets. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and check out all the items they have over there. They got the 2022 Andy Gross Show wall calendar. You don't want to miss that. You got to know what day it is. Go check that out. And while you're there, you might want to look at the 60 Years of Mayberry book by Randy Turner. That's right, Two Chairs own Randy Turner. Go over to Weaver's Department Store and check it out. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners like you. The executive producer of episode number 650 is Richard Meek. Wow, thank you, Richard, and thank you for being here for episode number 650. I guess that's a milestone of some kind that we've reached. Wow, we've been doing this for a while, but I'm not going to make a huge deal out of this because we've got the anniversary of the Andy Griffith Show coming up soon. We got Mayberry Days coming up, and we also have the anniversary of this podcast. So, wow, it's been a great Mayberry time here for me. Last week, we talked about the premiere of the Mayberry Man movie and of the Mayberry Effect movie and both of those being out. And just in the last week, they've also done the live stream for all the people who had donated to the movie. Found out a lot of people that I knew had donated, my niece, my brother. I mean, it's been pretty nice. I didn't know. And so I want to thank all of them and thank all of you for supporting the Mayberry Men movie. It's really good. So what we're going to talk about this week is Mayberry on the Street this week. During the Mayberry Days weekend, I stayed, Mayberry Man weekend when it premiered. I stayed over on till Sunday. Saturday night was the premiere. And then Sunday, we did a cast and crew showing. And I stayed there. And I was lucky enough to be asked to be on a podcast that is just getting started, and it's going to be the Mayberry Man podcast. And I was talking to Anderson Howell. He is the host of the podcast, and hopefully it'll be on the internet by the time we get to this podcast episode, and you guys will be able to go and listen, because they were doing interviews of people that were in the movie or coming out of the movie and talking to people. And according to what Anderson said, his dad, Court Howell, who was the producer of Mayberry Man and the son of Hoke Howell, Dud Walsh, he said his dad asked him, would you like to help out on the Mayberry Man podcast? And he was like, yeah, I'd like to do that. And he said, I thought I'd just be running the camera. But he said, oh, no, you're going to be the talent. You're going to be doing the interviews. So I got to be one of the very first interviews, and they were nice enough to let me show that here on the podcast tonight. So we're going to show that on this episode, or you can listen or watch. There's a video version of it as well. And so you're going to be able to see that. We'll play a little bit of trivia and then hear from Randy Turner as well. So we've got all kinds of fun this week. So I'm going to set this up by saying that we're on the street right outside the Royal Theater in Danville, Indiana, and we're talking a little bit more about Mayberry Man. So don't leave me. You know, I hope you've had a chance to see it. Some of you folks have, and I hope you're going to enjoy this. So this is the very first interview that I've done here on the Mayberry Man podcast. So let's go and check that out.
All right. Hi, I'm Anderson Howell, son of producer Court Howell. I'm here with Alan Newsome, the host of Two Chairs No Waiting, who also plays Floyd in Mayberry Man. It's good to have you, Alan.
Great to be here.
All right, so this is you've been portraying Floyd for how long as a tribute?
26 years.
26 years.
26 years.
And this is the first time you've portrayed him in a film?
Yes, yeah, I've never done anything on film, camera like that before, other than I've done some morning TV shows, yeah. You know, where you have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to be on a 6 o'clock show for 3 minutes. Not fun.
Yeah. So after all the shooting and everything, what was it like finally seeing the finished piece last night?
Oh, it was great. I didn't have any idea what was actually going to be the result of what we filmed. I knew what was shot. I knew what we did.
Yeah.
But it was really, really fun to be able to finally see the finished product and see how the cuts were put together and the different scenes or scenes throughout the movie that were filmed here in Danville and then other parts in Mount Airy, North Carolina, or in the North Carolina area. And if you didn't know where those locations were, that you would have never guessed.
Yeah.
So,
like I was saying this off camera before we started, but I've been hearing his voice for years, but this is the first conversation we've actually ever had. So for those who don't know, the Two Chairs No Waiting podcast, he's been hosting that. How long have you been?
I started in 2008, and currently I have 648 episodes.
That's crazy. That's, yeah. So what's your, besides the podcast, besides being a tribute artist, what has been your connection to the Andy Griffith Show? Like, what was the...
Well, what originally started was back in the early 90s. I wanted to learn how to do HTML coding, which is how you used to do web pages.
Yeah.
You actually manually coded the pages. Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to learn to do that, and I wanted to make a web page about something, and I decided, the Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah.
There were only about 3 other pages at the time that were Andy Griffith Show related. And so I started that and got involved in the Andy Griffith Show. I was a member of the Andy Griffith Show Rerun Watchers Club.
Uh-huh.
And through all of that, I eventually met David Browning, who was a Barney Fife tribute artist.
Okay.
And he encouraged me to start dressing up like Floyd and talking to people. Because he'd seen me after an event, I was sitting around talking with him, and there was... we were just doing lines from the show.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, you see what it says on the sidewalk out there? Bobby Gribble. Hey, see my line. So he heard me talking like Floyd, and so he started, hey, you need to dress up like this.
Yeah.
And my wife encouraged me, and that was in 94, and I've been doing it ever since.
Nice. When was your first Mayberry Fest? As a fan, as a tribute artist, when was the first?
In 93. I got married in 92, and then in 93 we went to Mayberry Days in Mount Airy, North Carolina, and I really enjoyed it. The fans were like what you see in the movie.
Yeah.
They were very friendly and just made you feel a part of a family, nearly, visiting with them. And that encouraged me to want to go to those type of events.
Uh-huh.
And over the years, you know, I started doing Floyd, and I've been able to go to events all over the, especially the Southeast and the East over the years, and it's just been a lot of fun.
Gotcha. So your first experience at, was there any similarities between you and our main character, Chris Stone? Was there any?
No, because I liked the Andy Griffith Show. I didn't really get into watching the Andy Griffith Show until I was in college. Mm-hmm. I mean, I watched it when I was younger a little bit.
Yeah.
But when I was in college, I went to Auburn, and I'm an electrical engineer, believe it or not. And to relieve stress during school, every night at 10:05, the Andy Griffith Show came on. And so we would stop studying, pop some popcorn, sit down and watch the Andy Griffith Show just to relieve some of the stresses of college.
Uh-huh.
And I really got into it at that point. And my college roommate's the one that really kind of got me started. And he's always said he created a monster because I turned into this Floyd guy.
Floyd guy,
You know, so.
That's funny. So, okay. So with the onset during the production of the movie, during the shooting of the movie, it was actually 1 year ago they started shooting yesterday.
That's right.
So what was your favorite, was there a favorite moment on set or a favorite time? Because you were in most of the scenes. So
I was in a lot, yeah.
Yeah. So what was that like, your first acting experience being on set? Just what?
Well, when I got the script, my favorite part of the script was there's a portion where Chris Stone, Floyd and Barney kind of go on an adventure together.
Yeah.
And when I read that, that was the most like the Andy Griffith Show to me, because Chris Stone was almost like Andy, and he's having to deal with Barney and Floyd going through this. And so that was the part I was looking most forward to filming. And it turned out, luckily in the movie, it turned out.
I remember I read that script like almost 2 years ago today.
Yeah.
And so I read that script, and I remember that being my favorite scene from reading it, and it turned out definitely well.
Oh,
and
well,
if you want to see the scene, you got to watch the movie.
Yeah, you got to watch it, because that was definitely the one I was looking most forward to.
Yeah.
And the whole movie's good, but that will remind people, I think, the most of the Andy Griffith Show
itself. Yeah, I remember... You have a big voice with the Mayberry crowd, and I remember every time there was somebody like going at my dad and my uncle for being like recreating the Andy Griffith Show, you would step in and save them through the podcast. You did a lot of that.
I've tried.
Exactly.
there's been some naysayers, you know, that were really worried that Hollywood is going out and making a remake of the Andy Griffith Show, and I've tried to explain. And luckily, because I've been doing Andy Griffith Show related stuff online since the early 90s, I have some credibility.
Yeah.
And so I was able to try to explain that, yes, this is not a remake. It is using the spirit of Mayberry in a modern time. And I would have been able to convince some people. Others, maybe not so much. Yeah. But at least I was able to stop them from
thinking it was a remake.
Yeah.
You got your voice out there.
Right.
All right. Well, so overall, you watched the movie for the first time. Was that the first time you saw the movie, last night?
Yes, last night was the first time I saw it.
What was your very first impression walking out?
Well, I thought it turned out really well. I was, you know, you just never know how something's going to turn out. Like I said, we knew what we had done on set.
Yeah.
But how it turns out after they put the music and they did the color correction and the editing, the different shots together. I was very pleased. I think it turned out very well.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not embarrassed by anything, so that's good.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, I wasn't sure if I'd be like, yes, I am Floyd. You know, I wasn't sure how I would be on the film.
I know exactly, because I know I'm gonna watch this back and be like
be critic
myself.
Always.
So I couldn't imagine all the actors, because I was in the premiere last night with all the actors watching and everything. I was like, they're probably being so critical of themselves. Were there any moments where you're like, I could have done that better? Because I thought you did a great job. I just want you to know that.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. There weren't many that I was really, because I've been doing Floyd for so long as at festivals. So there, it looked like film I've seen of myself at festivals talking to people.
Yeah.
So it wasn't too bad. The ones I was most worried about, there's a few scenes in the movie where I'm me.
Yeah.
So if you don't know, the character I play, his name's Alan, and he's a Floyd the Barber tribute artist. Well, that was a real stretch for me. Yeah. I really had to go out, but I had to play Alan in some scenes. And I was a little worried about that, because when I was filming it, I felt like I feel when I'm at a, maybe at a party I didn't want to be at, where I'm just nervous.
Exactly. And,
but when you actually see it, they did a good job editing it so it didn't look that way.
Exactly, yeah. Definitely, so it came out well.
Well, yes.
So any other things related to Mayberry Man you want to say to the people after you've seen the movie, after it's all done? Anything else you want to just put out there?
There's just so many things about the movie. I know you're going to enjoy it. The Howls, both of them, have worked so hard. It's so many people, the crew, the volunteers. We are so appreciative of all of them, just for all the things they did to make the movie a success. Because it couldn't have been done without all these people. We didn't have a lot of money coming into this to make a big Hollywood Avengers movie. But it was through all those folks volunteering their time and effort, and we are so thankful for them.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, we're going to get a couple more people on to see what they think, but it was great talking to you, Alan.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, so that was Anderson Howell. He's the grandson of Hoke Howell, Dud Wash himself. So he was there and interviewing folks outside. So I'm looking forward to being able to see more of those type interviews. And if you want to check those out, you can go over to youtube.com/Mayberry Man. And those interviews will be posted there. So go and subscribe over at the Mayberry Man YouTube channel, and you'll make sure you don't miss out on any of that. So, all right. So if you are not tired of hearing about Mayberry Man, stick around after Randy Turner and after we do some trivia here. You'll be able to watch Floyd arrive on the red carpet. So it's not overly exciting, but I thought some of you might enjoy seeing that weren't able to attend. And you can't hear the interview really well, but Court Howell actually interviewed me for that, or interviewed Floyd for that. So you guys check it out. So let's do some trivia. All right, everybody ready? All right, so here we go. Trivia music by the VW Boys. Thank you, VW Boys. Trivia question number one. Are you ready? All right, here we go. Question one is true or false. Charlene Darlin had a crush on Andy. True or false? Charlene Darlin had a crush on Andy. This ought to be pretty easy. All right. Charlene Darling had a crush on Andy. The answer is that's true. She did. She had a crush on Andy. All right. Number two. Who would get car sick and couldn't bowl because of a bad back? It's a little harder. A little harder. You might know this answer, but it's a little harder. Who would get car sick and also couldn't bowl because of a bad back? This is a little hard. Who would get car sick? I can't. I get car sick. Who gets car sick and couldn't bowl because of a bad back? I'd be in traction for... All right. The answer is Lydia Crossway. I know. Why don't we go bowl it? Can't. If I bowled, I'd be in traction for a week. All right. Something like that. All right. So I hope you got that one. That was Lydia Crossway. All right. So good job. That was number two. Number three. Leonard Blush appeared on what Mount Pilot radio station? This is a hard one. This is actually in the Mayberry Man movie. Leonard Blush appeared on what Mount Pilot radio station? How you doing? Come on, try to give it a chance. What was it? And this is a weird one because it starts with a letter that I've never heard of a radio station starting with. The answer is Leonard Blush appeared on what Mount Pilot radio station? It was YLRB. YLRB, Mount Pilot. And who was the announcer? You might know that too, but that's not the question. The next question, number four. This is a multiple choice question. What Mayberryan told jokes on television? Was it A, Goober, B, Howard, C, Barney, or D, Aunt B? What Mayberryan told jokes on television? Goober, Howard, Barney, or Aunt B? That's A, B, C, and D. Your choice. The answer is to the question, what Mayberryan told jokes on television? The answer is B, Howard. Howard Sprague. Howard Sprague. Yeah. What about Floyd? Yeah. How soon they forget. All right. Next, number five. Number five is also true or false. So are you ready? Barney paid $15 for a fur piece. True or false? Barney paid $15 for a fur piece. and it was defective, too. Barney paid $15 for a fur piece. True or false? The answer is it's false. Is the hair coming out a little at a time or in bunches? Bunches, bunches. All right. Number six. Number six. What is a centipede? Okay. What is a centipede? This is a pretty easy answer, even if you don't watch Andy Griffith Show. What is a centipede? All right. The answer is it's a bug with 100 legs. Oh, come on, Andy. If you don't know the answer, don't just make it up. I don't know if that's exactly the quote, but that's the gist. So it's a bug with 100 legs. There you go. All right. Number five, six, seven. Number seven. What number is this? Seven. Yes. Number seven. How did Barney's cousin, Virgil, help Otis? How did Barney's cousin, Virgil, help Otis? Okay. Think about it for a second. Can't leave it too long. How did Barney's cousin Virgil help Otis? I don't know if I would have got this. But the answer is, how did he help Otis? Well, Otis had to be somewhere and he couldn't get out of the cell because Virgil had filed all the keys down and shined them up where they didn't work. So how did he help him? He got him out of the jail. He took the door off the cell, right? And got him out. All right. Number eight. Also, this is a multiple choice. Who paid more than $10 for a fur piece? This one seems easy after one of them earlier. Who paid more than $10 for a fur piece? I'm not even going to give you the multiple choice. All right. Who paid more than $10 for the fur piece? Was it Andy, Opie, Barney, or Goober? Well, we already know, so I'll give it to you. It was C, Barney. Barney paid more than $10 for a fur piece. All right. Two more questions. Number nine. This one, you've got to get this one right. All right. What is the name of the town of Mayberry's operator? What is the name of the town operator? That's the telephone operator. Not a surgeon. Telephone operator. All right. What was the name of the town operator? The answer is Sarah. Sarah. Right at the end of the music there. And number 10. What did Andy say when Barney choked on the peace pipe? Boy, that is a hard one. What did Andy say when Barney choked on the peace pipe? What'd he say? What did he say? Andy said, when Barney choked on the peace pipe, the answer is, he said, take small puffs. That's the answer. I don't think I would have got that one. All right, so there we go, guys. That's 10 questions. 10 questions. How did you do? How did you do? I don't know. That was pretty hard. Those were a little bit harder than some of the last few weeks, but they were still fine. All right, so we're going to go now and hear from Randy Turner with This Week in Mayberry History.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
Roy Barcroft may not be a name you recognize, but he had a career of more than 40 years with hundreds and hundreds of appearances, including a short but memorable one in Mayberry. Roy was born on September the 7th, 1902 in Nebraska to a farming family. In 1917, he lied about his age and enlisted in the Army during World War I at the age of 15. He was sent to France, where he was wounded in action, leading to his discharge at only 16 years of age, only 1 year into his 3-year commitment. He worked a number of odd jobs after that, including as a ranch hand, but unable to find steady work, he re-enlisted in 1923 and was stationed in Hawaii for 3 years. After his second discharge, he first went to Chicago and played clarinet and saxophone in local dance bands before moving to Los Angeles in 1929. He at first worked as a salesman and performed in local stage productions on the side, in part at least because he thought it would improve his voice and thus his ability to sell. In 1931, Roy heard a film studio was looking for extras who had served in the military for use in the upcoming Greta Garbo film, Mata Hari. He made his film debut as a soldier in that movie. For the first 7 years of his acting, Roy had only uncredited roles in films and movie serials. He was an extra in the 1936 cliffhanger series, Flash Gordon, the serial that was one of George Lucas's inspirations for Star Wars. The following years, he was an extra as a soldier in the film Join the Marines, and was again an extra as a soldier in the serial Dick Tracy. He had his first credited role later that same year as a soldier in another serial, SOS Coast Guard, starring Bela Lugosi. In 1938, he had his first role in the genre in which he would become best known as a character type that he would typically play. Roy was cast as a henchman in the Western Flaming Frontiers. For the next 5 years, while he did still appear in the occasional non-Western, including the serials Flash Gordon's Trip to Mars and Flash Gordon Conquers the Universe, most of his work was in films, such as The Man from Texas, Riders of Death Valley, and Riding Down the Canyon, often as a henchman. In 1943, Republic Pictures signed him to an exclusive 10-year contract, leading to his appearance in more than 150 films and serials for that studio. Film critic Leonard Maltin has called him Republic Pictures' number one bad guy. When his contract was up, and as B-Westerns were declining in popularity, he continued to appear in films for other studios and also made his television debut in 1953 in, what else, a Western series, The Adventures of Kit Carson. In 1954, he made his first of eight appearances as different characters in Annie Oakley, starring Gail Davis, who would later play Thelma Lou's cousin. A year later, he became known for a good guy role, that of Colonel Jim Logan, the ranch owner in Disney's Spin and Marty series that aired as part of the Mickey Mouse Club. In 1955, he had a small role as the Marshal in the hit film version of the musical Oklahoma. In 1963, Roy appeared in Mayberry as Clint Biggers, who showed up just a bit too late looking for his pack of dogs, which Andy and Barney had just found homes for. In his later years, Roy shifted to playing sheriffs and marshals more than henchmen. In 1969, he made the last of 19 appearances in Gunsmoke as Roy, a recurring character he sometimes played in the series, who had his own name. Roy Barcroft passed away that same year, a working actor up to the end, with some credits and productions airing after his death. Throughout his career, people were often surprised to meet Roy. While his movie persona during most of his career was as the villain, he was a charming and immensely likable man. That's it for this week. Thanks for listening. And remember to take Andy's advice and go out there and act like somebody.
Wow. Thank you, Randy. And if you would like to make sure you don't miss out on any of the great stuff that Randy's doing on the internet about the Andy Griffith Show, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com. turnersgrade@gmail.com. And he'll make sure you don't miss out on any of his fun stuff. Folks, that is basically what I've got for you tonight. If you're full up of all the Mayberry Man stuff, you can bail out here in just a second. I'd love to hear from you, though. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415 or email me at floyd@imayberry.com. I would love to hear from you. And we're going to show here at the end of the podcast, we're going to show a video that if you're watching or listening to the audio version, you should still be able to hear it. But just to let you know that it was a rainy day, the day we actually had the red carpet event. So we ended up, it was a little bit smaller outside than it was because it was raining than it was planned to be. And so this is a video of Floyd, me, arriving at the Mayberry Man movie. So we're going to watch or listen to that if you're only listening. It's going to be a little hard. Court Howell will be interviewing me there at some point. But hopefully you'll be able to hear it and you can at least watch it if you're watching the video version. Otherwise, you won't be missing out on anything if you cut it off right after that. So let's head on into this, and then we'll close it out at the end of the show. Talk to you guys later. Have a great Mayberry week.
Hey, Floyd, look this way.
Hey. How y'all doing? Hey. Wow, this is big, isn't it? There's a lot of bad hair around here. It's rain because of the hair. Well, the spirits are high. This is
Alan Newsome, Floyd the Barber, tribute artist, big part of this film. this is one of your biggest breaks.
Oh, yeah, this is it. Oh, this is big.
So tell me a little about your character.
Well, it's a real stretch for me. I play a character named Alan, who's a Floyd the Barber tribute artist. It's, I really had to reach for the role. I wasn't sure how I was going to pull it out, but it was a lot of fun to be a part of, and I'm so excited to be able to finally see the finished product and see what actually comes out. I hope everybody loves it.
So how many other actors did you get out this
week? No, probably hundreds.
Hundreds of hours.
At least one.
So what would you like to share?
Well, we are so thankful for everybody that has supported the movie, and we really hope you enjoy what you see. And it was really done with a spirit of love, just from the Andy Griffith Show itself, and just for Mayberry in general. So we hope everyone will.
I'm sure they will. Alan Newsome, Floyd the Barber, and Floyd, congratulations.
Well, thank you. Oh, this is big.